Staten Island is laugh out loud funny, but will surprise you with a truly heartfelt story. It also features an all-star cast starring Marissa Tomei, Bill Burr, Steve Buscemi, and more. Rent The King of Staten Island tonight, along with other new movies at Redbox. Make it a movie night and visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We've got you. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got you covered. We're the only place you can find Duralast, the batteries more consumers choose. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination, where help is always in stock. Claims based on a proprietary consumer study and data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone!
I'm giving Jeb's basement renovations one star. He kept asking me what's behind the walls down there. I'm like, why? What do you know?
No matter how hard you work for your small business, online reviewers will find something to complain about.
And then he's like, you can trust me with the job. And I'm all like, trust?
And while Progressive can't save you from these trolls, we can help you save money on commercial, auto, and business insurance.
Yeah, he charged me less than he said he would, which is lying.
Get a quote online today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliated and third-party insurers.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
Ben, are you having trouble with reduced energy, increased body fat, reduced libido, or even ED? Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell for Men's Total Health, and these are signs of hormone imbalance. I paid the clinic a visit in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity Building, and from Andrea's warm greeting to the understandable info from Shane, I learned how low T can impair immune response, cause insomnia, brain fog, and affect overall self-confidence. Improve quality of life and relationships. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know you heard it on the Sports Tank. Over.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover, off and running. Welcome to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh.
Guess what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more than what, that Camel Wednesday hump day, is that what it is?
Hey, it's Shock Gene of Digital Underground, head coach Sean of the Peyton, Caleb the Camel. Spoke to Sean Fazan back in hour number one, Daniel Salison as well. Robert Emmett previewed the Masters. Gonna be interesting how that course plays at this time of the year as opposed to spring. Round one tomorrow. Words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
Ali Cosell will join us in a matter of minutes. We'll talk the very latest rumor mill. A week away from the NBA draft, we'll have a very special sports hangover. From 12 to 3 next Wednesday, we'll focus heavily on the draft and get you ready. Pels, pick number 13 in the first round. And then in the second round, picks 39, 42, and 60 as of now. Brandon, thanks for holding on, man, through the top of the hour break. What you got?
Hey, what's up, Gus? Yeah, it's Randy from the West Bank, man. How you been? So you know I want to talk a little football, but I wanted to say as far as like the Pelicans, man, I think Tyler Hero in a first round pick wouldn't be bad for somebody like Drew Holiday, you know, if you could pull that off somehow. I really like that kid. He's pretty good. Like with the Saints, man, how much what is Cam Jordan's salary going into the future, next year and the year before and the year beyond?
I'll look it up, man. I don't have it off the top of my head. I know he just got a new contract recently. So, you worried about the salary cap already?
Well, I think with the emergence, you know, I know that, Hendrickson, you know, he isn't Cam Jordan. And, you know, Cam Jordan gets the chip and he gets the doubles and all. But, I mean, do you see a decline in his play all of a sudden? I don't, you know, last five seasons, you know, he was a double-digit sack guy, and now it's just like you get nothing out of him, really, you know?
Well, look, I look at it this way. As Jordan's found his money, let's just say that first.
Yeah, reportedly agreed to a 3-year, $52.5 million contract extension.
Secondly, remember most of the season you didn't have Marcus Davenport, and while Hendrickson's been doing fine, you're not double-teaming anybody on that side. You're double-teaming Cam. Now, that said, look, he has faced double teams a lot in his career. I wouldn't say it's declined. It maybe hadn't been the type of season that he would have liked to have come to expect, but at the same point, the barometer for him is an all-pro. So you're starting to see a lot more of him flashing. And look, be honest with you, I'd rather him flash the final eight than the first eight, you know?
Right, no doubt. And yeah, and look, the final, you know, one other thing I wanted to ask, and I'm going to hang up and listen, because I appreciate I like watching, listening. But so with Marshawn Lattimore at the end of the year, I think this is going to be kind of interesting. You know, I think he's going to kind of want top five cornerback money. I don't really think he's a top five cornerback in the league. I think in certain situations he can be. You know, Mike Evans, I mean, you know, he shuts him down. But what do you think the money range is going to look like with him? And do they, you know, have a top five corner as far as money-wise and a number one wide receiver money-wise going forward? And you don't know if you're going to have a, you know, quarterback, you know, Drew, if you're going to rebuild. And so just something interesting to think about.
Well, your top five in the NFL, Jalen Ramsey, 5 years, $100 million. Humphrey for the Ravens, 5 years, $98 million. Tre'Davious White for the Bills, 4 years, $69 million. So, look, I mean, the fifth place player is Byron Jones for the Dolphins, 5 years, $82.5 million. Darius Slay, Eagles at 4, 3 years, $50 million. It's going to be a big contract.
Gilmore's going to want a lot of money.
Well, keep in mind this. You don't have the big contract right now that you're going to have probably with quarterback, I'm assuming, whether it's Winston or Hill, it's not going to be 30-plus. So you're going to look at that. And then, look, you're going to have to decide. You're right. Is he worth top five, top three, top cornerback money? And that's why it's one of my points going into the game this week. Real simple. You need to play like that all the time, not just when you take things personal. You know, he has a personal thing with Mike Evans. He's fantastic. If he plays like that every game, I'll give him top five money, absolutely. But if it's whenever he feels like it, I don't know if I am. But, you know, those are decisions that you make later on, man.
Right, and, you know, let's not forget that, you know, Ryan Ramczyk, he's not only going to get the, you know, the highest right tackle, he's gonna break through the roof with that. So I don't think he's going to get top five money with the Saints. But, you know, you look at Von Bell, you know, when he went to Cincinnati over maybe $100,000 or something less than that. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting, but I personally wouldn't pay him top five money. But, you know, but all right, Gus.
Appreciate the phone call, Randy, from the Best Bank. We'll bring in Ali Cosell. As always, I enjoy my conversations with Ali. He is the way to follow him. He's the editor-in-chief for the Bird Rights at OLEHKOSEL, Ali Cosell. How you doing, man?
Doing great, Gus. I mean, the news is exploding everywhere. You ready for next week? We're going to have everything. Free agency and the draft.
I am. It's incredible. Next weekend's free agency, as he's referencing, and then next Wednesday is the draft. And we're going to have you on next Wednesday to give your takes, too, as well as where the Pels can sort of go. But let's just start with Mark Stein's tweet today that the Hawks have emerged as a potential trade destination. And I made one tweet, one text to somebody I know over there, and it's for the sixth pick. That's it. I'm like, no, thank you. That's just me. I take reports like that in the Suns as one of those, hey, guys, Miami, you listening? Boston, you listening? Hey, Brooklyn, you listening? Milwaukee, are you listening? That's what I take those reports. Am I off on that, or could you literally trade Drew Holiday for the sixth pick or 10th pick of the draft this year?
I would normally agree with you, except for the fact that we had heard a couple of weeks ago that the Pelicans were interested in moving up in a draft. So my guess is, honestly, Gus, I think they're eyeing somebody in this draft. You know, we can guess as to who. They're so quiet and tight-lipped, this organization, compared to others. We're likely not going to get Ward until the draft, or excuse me, until the trade actually happens. But no, I actually think that there may be a chance that the best bet that they're thinking in one single piece, getting back for Drew, is a really high draft pick.
That's interesting because, again, I'm looking at it and I don't see that. So you are a lot more wiser. And you know it a lot better than me. So give me your goggles here. Give me your eyes. Who do you see in the top 10 that would be a good fit for those Pels teams and help them now? Because that's what I need if I'm trading Drew Holiday, right? I'm losing a lockdown defender.
Yeah.
I'm losing a leader in the locker room. So I better get somebody that's going to come in and help me now.
Right. I think what it really would boil down to is that not only would they get the high draft pick, but they would at least get some kind of decent name coming back in that Stan Van Gundy can utilize now. So say, for instance, if Golden State Warriors, right? Everybody knows they're trying to trade that number two overall pick. Well, attached to it is going to come Andrew Wiggins. But my guess is that David Griffin probably doesn't want somebody like Wiggins who's got another 3 years on a very expensive deal, right? We have to pay him close to around $30 million over the next three seasons. So I think that's why we're hearing, honestly, third teams now coming up a lot in reference to any kind of Drew Holiday trade. Basically, that's just telling me that Drew Holiday is going to go to somewhere where a contender or maybe, say, an Atlanta Hawks team wants him. Pelicans are going to get a draft pick, probably another piece or two back. But any salary that needs to be used in a trade to make a deal work for Drew, because remember, he's making about $26, $27 million, and if you're over the cap space line, you need to basically bring back similar money. So I just got a feeling that Griff's not too interested in bringing back, like I said, a lot of salary. Because he talked, if there's one thing he did reveal to us, he wants to keep the flexibility. Even though he kind of downplayed the Drew Holiday trade rumor a little over a week ago now, he did make that point, right? So he wants to keep the flexibility for until this team's a contender. So, like I said, I actually do believe that, like I said, that maybe a draft pick might be the best that they can get for Drew, honestly. Like a high, maybe a number six, maybe even a number two this year.
That's intriguing. What players do you like up there? Because I asked this with Daniel earlier in the show. I just don't look at him being a consensus number one. I don't see a Zion, an AD, or anything like that. I see it's basically who's the best fit for you. Or in your mind, do you see a number one overall player?
I almost do. I am really in love with Okongwu out of USC, freshman center. Had a heck of a really good season, about 16-9, even though no offense was ran for him. He's a great leaper, great hands, can play defense, very versatile, great in pick-and-roll coverage. So he's basically the type of guy that the Pelicans have needed for quite a while now. And you know Stan Van Gundy would like to have a guy like that in the middle of the paint. Because honestly, Gus, I think we've got to forget almost the comments that David Griffin made a year ago. So where he kind of likened maybe Zion Williamson's potential being like a Draymond Green. After what we saw, you know, you just can't hold out for that hope. So you've got to get somebody back there, somebody that's going to grow with this roster. And like I said, Okongwu really blows it out of the water. Everybody seems to focus on offense, right? It's easy to discern who's the top prospect by what they do offensively. But I feel like that's the case with Okongwu, except it's defensively. Yet there's not enough stats that really give you that kind of support to really make him look like a number one. But I honestly, when I've looked at videotape, I see a young Adebayo. I really do. I feel like he is worth trying to reach out and grab. And, you know, the Pelicans wouldn't be the only one if they are interested. I've heard the Boston Celtics really love him and are really chasing him hard. So if the Boston's identifying, he's a really good pick. I've heard the Spurs have looked at him as well. You got to really believe that this guy's a true talent. If not him, I'll just throw out LaMelo Ball. You know, I feel like he may be the best overall player. And putting him next to Lonzo, you move Lonzo to the two, LaMelo can be your driver, your initiator, because he's really brings you to the table what Lonzo doesn't, right? So I could see that. And, of course, the third name's Halliburton. I think Tyrese Halliburton, everybody's high on him. Good kid out of Iowa State that can do a lot of a little bit, would basically be replacing Drew Holiday.
Interesting. Halliburton 6'5". You mentioned LaMelo. He's 6'8", 180. Ngwangu, like you're talking about 6'9", there, and it's interesting because I was going to ask you about his lack of size playing power forward or center because it's basically what you have with Zion. But then you brought up that name in terms of Green over there. And Draymond, because, look, man, I have argued for years. Yes, those other guys are spectacular. That guy is the heart and soul of that team. And in those championship runs, he's that annoying guy, man, on the defensive end that just the energy every night. And like to your point, you mentioned Miami's Bam. I mean, that's needed. If you could, if that's that kind of player, okay, now you have intrigued me to try to move up and go get that player.
Right. Look, Gus, just look at the latest championship winners. They have fantastic defenses. And when you're going to go forward with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, at best, you're hoping just to be average defensively with those two guys at their position. So you're going to need somebody to be outstanding, and you need somebody to be outstanding near the rim. So that really leaves almost, like I said, a hybrid 4-5 to where you can play. Because if you want to keep the versatility, you can't just go for, you know, a straight legitimate five, like maybe trying to gamble on a James Wiseman or something. That's why I feel like I said, O'Connell feels like the perfect fit. Now, I know everybody's going to say, look, the guy can't shoot from outside the paint. You're matching him up with Zion, who, you know, honestly, you'll never know if he'll maybe develop an outside jumper either. But I think that's just a risk you got to take. If you really, truly want to have a chance at a top five defense, like I said, with B.I. and Zion, you got to grab a guy. And I swear, O'Connell looks like one of the best defensive players to come out of college in quite a while for me.
Wow, that's interesting because, again, I think that's going to be the key. Again, try to get somebody that can kind of help. And again, you have to start looking at it. It's something I asked Daniel as well. Some of the players that you're going to be looking at, Ollie, is that fit this system, the Stan Van Gundy system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we know with Stan, he has already said that he actually likes this roster to go ahead and keep playing fast. But there's one thing he definitely wants his team to do. And, of course, besides playing defense, getting in front of somebody, and basically limiting the team to one shot to where you're corralling rebounds, he wants to cut down on the turnovers. And I just feel like you need to basically now start grabbing role players. And I don't want to say role players in a negative light, but when you've got your two stars already, you just got to find people that are going to, you know, mix well with B.I. and Zion. Like I said, O'Connell really fits the bill. I think he'd be a Stan Van Gundy guy. Look what he did with, you know, Dwight Howard. Even though Dwight Howard was a heck of a talent, you know, Conwell's got the same kind of athletic ability too. And I think his touch is so much softer, so much better than Dwight Howard's that he could possibly develop at least a mid-range shot. So I feel like the sky's the limit with him. And, you know, to get a Stan Van Gundy defense going, you just got to be able to protect the paint. He constantly, if you listen to the guy talk, Gus, what does he bring up? The Milwaukee Bucks defense. He's like, I don't care that they gave up the most three-point shots. You know what they did do? They prevent people from getting in the lane, getting second-chance shots. So I feel like, you know, he's giving us the blueprint, the template for what he wants and needs on his team. And right now, he doesn't have it.
Ollie Kosel, editor-in-chief of The Bird, writes. He'll join us next Wednesday as well and give us his take, the latest, on NBA draft day. So thank you so much, man. I look forward to talking to you a week from today.
Absolutely. It's going to be crazy. I hope everybody straps in. It could be fun.
It is. I love it. Good stuff, man. All right, I love it. When we come back, Ralph Marlboro will join us. We'll talk a little Saints with him. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Today's Medical Minute is provided to you by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center.
Hello, I'm Billy Nakian, the director of the Spine Center of Excellence at Thibodeau Regional. Have you had a recent neck or back injury? Or have you been suffering with recurrent neck and back pain? Have you been searching for relief? Thibodeau Regional has developed a unique approach to treating neck and back disorders. The Spine Center of Excellence provides a comprehensive, patient-centered approach to ensure that you receive the right care at the right time from the right provider. The Spine Center is different because it offers centralized access to multiple specialties and services. Patients and their referring physicians are led by a nurse navigator through a process of assessment and treatment, individually tailored to the patient's unique condition. In addition to total care coordination, the Spine Center's comprehensive services include everything from high-tech diagnostic imaging to physical therapy, surgery, alternative medicines, and chronic pain services. If you're experiencing back or neck pain, call today, 985-493-4501. The Spine Center of Excellence of Thibodeau Regional will put you on the path back to your normal routine.
This Medical Minute was sponsored by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center, nationally recognized for providing the highest level of quality care and patient satisfaction.
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy, Buick, new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way of saying thanks for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that light new pre-owned any maker model? Give us a call at 325-1000. or visit us on the web at goldenmotors.com. 325-1000. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Ralph Marlborough joins us now at Saints Forecast. Way to follow him over on Twitter. As always, you got to go listen to the podcast, Saints Happy Hour. Love the name, sir. Good afternoon to you, Ralph. How are you, man?
I'm great, Gus. I was just stunned that the Saints have moved up to number one in DVOA for Football Outsiders. I always make fun of them because they're nerds. But when they give the Saints, when they give me good news about the Saints, I think they're brilliant.
There you go. I know it's crazy when you look at it since week five, man, the number one team and pressuring the quarterback. How much do you attribute Davenport and his return and really the way Trey Hendrickson's played?
Well, I attribute it to some of Davenport coming back, but mostly, Gus, all of it is Trey Hendrickson has it out for Bruce Arians. Because remember week one, Bruce Arians was like, Trey Hendrickson's the easiest guy to block, and we couldn't even block mm-hmm. him. So Trey Hendrickson sacking Brady three times. I think Trey Hendrickson just has a personal vendetta against Bruce Arians, and I'm here for it. And it was delightful. The funny thing with Trey Hendrickson is I'm here for him getting like 15. Like right now he's on pace for 15 sacks, and he may or may not get that. But Gus, he gets like 12. The Jets or the Jaguars or some desperate team is going to pay him 4 years, $60 million. And I know the Saints can't pay, and I'll be happy for him. But he is, if you talk about a guy who I think he's probably a guy that's like a 7-8 sack guy, but he has picked the perfect time to have a career year. And think about him. He makes the 2017 draft completely and utterly ridiculous. It used to be a unicorn, but now it's a unicorn that crafts gold bars. Like, it's just the 2017 draft is at a level I can't even explain. We'll be telling our grandkids about it.
Yeah, it's one of those you just sit there and be like, no, really, it happened. I saw it. It actually really existed. It's incredible when you look at it from that perspective. And here's the thing, Ralph. The last two seasons, I'm not saying I saw this, but I have watched training camps, and you've been there, and you've seen it. And all the guy does at practice in drills and in team periods, right, Jordan? I mean, you saw it. The guy got sacks, and he couldn't get on the field. He never got any play time, and he would be an inactive player. And I didn't understand it. He saw some action again last year, but even before that, man, I didn't understand it. I mean, because all he did at practice was get to Drew or, you know, have to pull up right before he gets to the quarterback. So I don't know. I can't say I'm completely surprised because I thought the guy deserved playing time a while back.
Well, the thing with Trey Hendrickson is he's great if he's your third pass rusher, right? And
okay.
The thing that's always made him his number one skill is he just doesn't take a play off, right? So in practice, he's going to dominate. I used to say about him in his second and third year, he's like a, you know, in baseball they have the saying like that guy's a 4A player. He's not quite good enough to be in the majors, but he's too good for Triple A. I thought he was that, but the thing is now, Gus, for whatever reason, he's finishing plays, and I'm going to tell you, I think he's going to get to 10, 12 sacks because the Saints are going to play these teams in the back half of the year that because of coronavirus, they're not going to care. Or you're going to have teams that are going to have injuries on offensive line. And Trey Hendrickson, he showed us in the playoff game against Minnesota, when he goes up against backup tackles, he destroys them because it's relentless effort, right? He's going to give you the same effort on the first play as the last play. And I think he's going to have some games when they play these bad teams when they're missing tackles, where he's going to have another one of these games where he's going to have second half, two and a half, and it's going to be crazy. And his contract in the offseason is just going to make us chuckle.
Overall, you mentioned that he added in for Bruce Arians. Okay. Sean Payton, I think, enjoyed letting everybody know, look, we're still the team in this division. You think he and the rest of his guys got a little tired, Ralph, of hearing all of the love and chatter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Gus, you know me. I'm a super cape nerd. I watch the film. I break it down. I'm gonna give you a football term here.
Okay.
Sean Payton, he pantsed Bruce Arians. Like,
he coached circles around Broussard. Like on that touchdown play that he hits Tre'Quan Smith, they run the fake screen, and Tre'Quan Smith is wide open and continued his play of being a great wide receiver when other teams forget he exists. But the thing about Bruce Arians that I find really interesting, Gus, is that dude throws people under the bus when they lose. Like, mm-hmm. He threw his offensive line under the bus after the Saints' first win. And then this week he's like, just to let y'all know, Mike Evans was open. We just didn't throw to him. I'm like, Bruce, dude, he was not open because he's Marshawn Lattimore's son, and he got stunned again. Like, I don't know. Like Bruce Arians, I think Tampa, like, there's a chance, Gus, and I know this sounds crazy, but remember, the NFC East is terrible, right? So they're getting a playoff spot. So you basically have eight teams in the NFC that are above 500, and you have six spots. And I'm not saying it's likely, but it's possible that Tampa is going to go like 9-7 or 10-6 and miss the playoffs. Like, the NFC, Gus, the NFC East is so bad, it's going to inflate everybody in the West, their win totals, because they get to play everybody in the NFC East and the AFC East. So I think you might have a 10-6 team in the NFC not make the playoffs, which seems crazy when they have seven teams, but I think it's possible.
Very interesting you say that from that perspective, and then you wonder if they do that, and look, that's still playoffs, but man, if they don't, I still think they're a good team. I just look at Sunday, Ralph, and say, look, I'm going to say it's an anomaly. It's just, it's one of those games. You snapshot it. You remember it. We did what we did on Tuesday and say, hey, look, it's a top five Sean Payton game with the other four that, you know, that you remember because they're just a unique thing, you know, and I don't think that's going to be like that all the time. I still think Tampa's a good team.
Well, no, I think Tampa's a good team. I think the thing that the Saints have is, and I don't know why it is, because the Saints pass rush, right, it's been inconsistent all year, kind of, right? It's up and it's down. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, the Saints pass rush, it gives Tampa fits. And the thing that you really saw with Tampa is Tom Brady, if you get even an above-average amount of pressure on him, he turns into like an 80-year-old man. And that's just part of it, right? Breeze kind of does the same thing too. But I just think the Saints, for whatever reason, their pass rush, they get after Tampa and they whip them up front. And, you know, Tampa, they played Green Bay, who Green Bay has a good rush too, and they blocked it. So it's just, maybe it's just one of those things that, like, styles make fight, and in this fight, it's just a knockout. So we'll have to see if they play a third time. But that's my theory, that for whatever reason, the Saints pass rush just beats Tampa.
One final point I want to make that you would like to chime in on here. Again, speaking with Ralph Marlborough, Saints Happy Hour podcast here. This was Sean Payton this morning when he was asked about evaluating, to this point of the year, what he's seen out of Jameis Winston. Give a listen.
Well, you're seeing everything daily. You know, he's done a great job of coming in here. Actually, you know, provides that daily upbeat attitude. There's a smile on his face. He loves football. He loves competing. You see him throwing every day. He's got extremely, extremely good arm talent. And man, I'm glad he's here. You know, there's something about him. You know, I think he's a very good leader. And so he's been a good addition for us.
Ralph, we all saw him eating a W during Drew Brees' post-game interview and in the locker room. You think that's a good thing?
I do, and here's why. You know, listen, we ripped that man to shreds over eating the W, right? Like, the Saints fans made fun of him. The national media made fun of him. If you type in Jameis Winston on Twitter and you go look for a gift, it's the first one that comes up, right? So he knows the whole world was making fun of him, right? But you know what he did? He leaned into it even more and laughed at himself and did it again. Now, I just think that shows a guy that's really confident and believes that he can be a leader because, you know what they say, Gus? If you laugh at yourself, everybody just sort of drops it and they can't make fun of you anymore because if you're laughing at it too, then it's not as funny, right? But I just think that's a really good sign for him. And, Gus, I think we need to come to terms with this is going to be Drew Brees' last year. I really believe that. And I believe it's going to be Jameis next year as the Saints quarterback because he's not going to play any this year, and he's going to be in the same boat that Teddy Bridgewater was in 2019. He's not going to have any big offers, and the Saints are going to say to him, look, come here and do a one-year prove-it deal. And if you're Jameis and you have an offer from the Jaguars on a one-year prove-it deal, or the Bears, or the Saints, where are you going to go? You're going to say, I'm going to beat Taysom Hill out. I'm a better quarterback than him. I'm going to do a one-year deal with the Saints. I'm going to kill it, and then I'm going to be the long-term replacement for Breeze. So I think we need to come to terms with that. It's something that we can talk about it ad nauseum in the offseason, but I'm telling you right now, if you told me to put a percent chance of who's going to be the quarterback, I bet 85% chance that it's Jameis.
Very interesting. I think it makes sense for both parties. He is a starter, and if you're him, where else would you want to go, to be honest with you? And if you perform and you win, man, you got to make some money. So you might make more. And especially, again, I think at the end of the day, you want an opportunity to win. And right now you look at this team, they're going to be competitive. I can't imagine they won't be. So it wouldn't surprise me at all, Ralph, if Jameis gets an opportunity.
No, it wouldn't. And the thing is, too, you have to remember is the cap is going to go down, so the Saints are going to have to do all these gymnastics to get under it, but so are other teams. And
yep.
Gus, if you're a team and you're not the Saints, right, and you're looking for a quarterback, why are you going to pay Jameis Winston anything or a decent contract if you haven't seen him, right? Like Miami wanted Bridgewater last year, but they basically offered him like a little bit more than what the Saints were going to pay him. So I just think Jameis' market is not going to be there. Now maybe circumstances change and things happen and, you know, Breeze gets injured and Jameis comes in and wins a playoff game or two for the Saints, then everything changes, right? But as of now, like, why would a team pay? He's not playing. And I just think, Gus, if he's the quarterback for the Saints, it will be incredibly interesting with Sean, because Sean Payton, as great as he's been with Breeze, he's never had a quarterback. Like, he mentions it. He mentioned in that soundbite you played, like, twice. He mentions the arm talent like a guy looking at a pretty girl when he talks. You ever notice he talks that? That's how he talks about Jameis. He talks about Jameis like he's a really pretty girl, like all his physical features that he has. So I think Sean Payton is definitely enamored with him.
Interesting, man. We'll see what happens with the feature. 8 games remain, though, for the Saints. In 30 seconds here, how do you see Sunday playing out?
I see Sunday playing out. Saints start really badly, but they wrap it up. They win 24-13. Kwon Alexander steals it with a sack.
Oh, okay. So you see him playing. I love it. All right. Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate it as always, man. At Saints Forecast, a way to give you a follow on social media via Twitter. And, of course, the Saints Happy Hour podcast. Talk next week, bud.
Anytime, guys. See you then.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. Jordan, you ready? The Cajun Ninja. Yeah, we'll hear from the Cajun Ninja. We'll return on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Sign in the middle of the night, but I couldn't see the light. No, I couldn't see the light.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pep Boys.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data. Plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Adding a leader you need right when you need them. That's how sports teams get ahead and how your business can too. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interest, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to linkedin.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
There it is. How to wait for it. It takes a little bit, but you know what? Just like a lot of his meals, good things come to those who wait. You got to prepare with love, and you got to be patient. The Cajun Ninja joins us on Wednesdays. Sir, how are you today, man?
Man, I am great, Gus, and I love the build-up. You know, I know there might be people out there getting a little impatient, but that was one of my dad's favorite songs as a kid, or when he was growing up. So for me as a kid, this is really an awesome thing.
I love that, man. It's good stuff, man. Look, I love your post from a little bit ago over on Facebook, which I highly recommend we all go and follow, because it is something that I've been mentioning throughout the show and need to mention more. Happy Veterans Day to everybody. My Uncle Ernie, airborne. My grandfather was in Korea. We all know somebody that's been a part of the military, so happy Veterans Day to all those. Right, Cajun Ninja?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, that was some really close friends of mine, my buddy Monkey, Stumpy, Tucker, and Dennis, you know, so I just gave them a little shout-out. But there's many more, and, you know, happy Veterans Day to all of them. I really appreciate their service.
Indeed, because it allows us to have fun and do it in safety, including cooking delicious dishes. But first, I got to get your takes on Deportes, man. About your Saints, man. When we started our conversations during COVID, before the season, we're like, there's going to be football. We'll be football. And here are the Saints at 6-2, Cajun Ninja, atop of the NFC standings with 8 games to play. Did you think it was possible?
Gus, I wish you'd have clipped our conversations earlier and used them today in this broadcast, because I believe it was me who had the faith. You know, it's been the same way the past probably 4 years in a row. They lose a couple games early, but then they go on a tear. They find who they are, and Drew Brees becomes Drew Brees, you know? And then the defense starts playing like they should. And you know what? We all saw who the real GOAT was last Sunday night.
How much did you enjoy that game? Because I think a lot of Saints fans really enjoyed that game.
Oh, if you saw me on Twitter, the announcers were like, they thought this was going to be a great game. And I was sitting there going, what you talking about? This is a great game.
I love it. No, I'm with you. Exactly. I know. I mean, poor Al Michaels, Jordan. I mean, I even mentioned it too. He sounded miserable in that first quarter. He could not understand what he was seeing, and he was just miserable, man. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Did you cook anything special for that game on Sunday night?
Yeah, you know what, Gus? I can't even remember what I ate that Sunday night. I was in such a euphoria of that game. I don't even know, man. I just know that it was awesome. Actually, to tell you the truth, I think we went eat at Walk-On's that night, because I was like, no, my wife was craving the cheese logs. If you ever had them over there, they're amazing. And we went just kind of pregame over there, and then we went home and watched the game, and it was awesome, man. It was what we always kind of thought and believed, was that, you know, if Tom Brady was down there in the South where things were heating up, he'd probably not have so many rings on his fingers.
Let me ask you this, man, because obviously we're close. It's hard to believe, I guess, because I've been paying attention, obviously, to football and whatever. But, dude, November seems to be flying by. I really honestly feel like Halloween was last weekend. We're at November 11th, man. Thanksgiving's not this Thursday, not next Thursday, but the one after that. So 2 Thursdays from this Thursday. And, you know, we all cook different dishes, all have different traditions and such. So, we're going to be doing this over the next couple of weeks, too. Was it stews, whether it's different pot dishes? There's so many different dishes that go into Thanksgiving. Do you guys sort of have a theme? Is it like seafood or whatever, hams and turkeys? Or did the Cajun Ninja family just kind of throw everything in there every year? Or is every year sort of the same? Do you have a traditional sort of spread?
Yeah, we kind of stick with a lot of the traditional spreads, you know, the green bean casseroles, the turkey. I know my mom likes to cook roast, which is always goes down really well. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing, like, within the last probably maybe 5-6 years that we throw down that I've even done on my page is seafood cornbread stuffing. Some people like to call it dressing because it's in a dish, but I call it stuffing because you can literally stuff it in anything, including yourself, and it's amazing. And, you know, I make that with some crab meat, some shrimp. I mean, it's got Cajun seasoning. I throw some pepper jack cheese in there, and I even use that cream of mushroom soup that tends to be used in a lot of Thanksgiving dishes. But, yeah, I got the Trinity cooked in there, and it's cooked in with some cornbread. And, I mean, when it's all mashed together and baked in the oven, man, it is delightful.
It's interesting you bring that up because that's what I was going to do over the next 3 weeks, just kind of go from meats to side dishes to stuffings and things of that nature, because a lot of people do like their stuffings, whether it's cornbread, and it will get into like casseroles and things of that nature, things that we've talked about on Wednesdays, but I like that. So that's one, you know, dressing slash cornbread sort of mix that you have there. Is there another one that you would kind of suggest, hey, why not give it a try to your dishes, to your plates this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if people normally do this for Thanksgiving, but I love a good homemade mac and cheese. You know, it just speaks to my soul, and it's just one of those things that, like, if I'm going to stuff myself on a day, you know, and one food that's really going to stick to me, homemade mac and cheese would be it.
I love that, and I know we've talked about a handful of your different types of mac and cheese, because you can throw just kind of like what you were just referencing, anything in that mac and cheese, right? Or do you like just a good old traditional? Because you said specifically one of the things that you like is the noodle, right? The size of the noodle you use.
Yeah, I love the large elbow macaroni, so the sauce can really get up in there. But yeah, I like a little good kind of traditional mac and cheese. Not so much like a crawfish mac and cheese. I will tell you this, though. When it comes to turkey, I do like fried turkey. Like, if you've never fried a turkey before, it's amazing. To me, it'll change the game for you. You'll never roast a turkey again.
I do find that as well too. Do you have your fryer, or do you use the same pot to do crawfish boils to do your turkey, or do you have a specific turkey fryer?
Oh no, I got a specific turkey fryer. It is what it's made for. It the pot size and everything. It's more like a cylinder, and it's very long, so that way you know, oil won't necessarily spill out of the top of it. You know, I think if anybody is going to get into frying turkey, they should probably, you know, do the research and buy the equipment that it's made for, and always be safe. Do it outdoors in an area where if something were to spill over, it's not going to set everything on fire.
I've never done it. Is it Jordan proof? You just mentioned setting something on fire. So is it Jordan proof to where you just grab the turkey, throw it in there with some oil? Is there a little more to it, including seasoning the turkey itself?
Gus, for legal reasons, I'm not at liberty to answer something like that.
You see, Jordan, could
I'm
you?
I'm grabbing up the picture.
Oh, you've done a turkey?
A turkey.
Have you fried a turkey?
60-something of them I have.
Oh.
In Atlanta last year.
That's right. I remember. I forgot about that.
I was about to pull up the pictures. There's a truck full of them.
You did it for your uncle's restaurant
over
there. Yes. All right. Okay. So, you know, Cajun Ninja, if you want to rent out Jordan to be your personal turkey fryer, you know, you can do that. Just watch him back and sit back and open up a cold one.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Gus, but I imagine you said something interesting.
I got you. I was saying something about Jordan's done apparently with 60.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I heard what you said.
Okay. All right. Well, we've had connection issues, so I really thought you didn't hear me. That's fine. See, you're pulling a fast one on me. I like that. All right. I want to ask you one thing, and we'll get into it as the weeks get closer to Thanksgiving. But desserts, man. Are you a pie guy? Are you – because I know yams is kind of something too, but I almost throw that in with the meal. My dad does a great sweet potato with apples and cinnamon, with marshmallows and all that other stuff, pecans. But, like, desserts, is it anything specific that you care for?
You know, it's funny you mention that because, like, my mom makes a really good, like, yam casserole with, like, topped with pecans and, like, a brown sugar glaze.
Yep.
And I love it. And one year, for whatever reason, she just didn't make it because she didn't think people were eating it. And I tell you what. You know, there was some tension in the air that year, you know, so she definitely always brought it to the table ever since then. But if there's one thing I really love, and it's pretty traditional, it's just some warm apple pie topped with some vanilla ice cream. Yep. I can just call it a day after that.
I'm with you, dude. I do. I love that. I love a warm pie, I think, on Thanksgiving and Christmas. The others, I'm good. Like anything else, you know, the Edwards ones that are cold, like the Oreo ones and the the chocolate mousses, all that's great. But I'm with you. Like, after a meal like that, right before I watch some NBA or watch some NFL, I just need a hot out the oven, still see the steam coming out with a dollop of either whipped cream or ice cream, like you say, man.
You can't beat it, man. It's just, it's so good. And for some reason, on that day in particular, it is the best. I love it.
Hey, man, quickly, I got to ask you as we wrap up here. So you were over at a local store over there. Is that every week or was this that one time?
Oh, that was up in North Louisiana, man. Yeah, over there at Tubbs Hardware. I don't know if any of them are going to be tuning in down here because it's so far. But I try to always put out the website link that I'm best known to grab that people can listen to you all over the country. But, yeah, I went up there yesterday and did a little meet and greet, and it was great, man. It just always feels like I'm doing something special when I get to meet people who follow the platform where I upload my passion.
Man, I love it, dude. I love the mug. I love the gear that you got there, the wooden spoons and all that. Just go check them out on Facebook. And look, maybe one day you can be lucky to meet and greet the Cajun Ninja.
Hey, look, the pleasure would be mine. For anybody listening, I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity when I meet the people who follow the platform.
Well, Jordan feels that way, Cajun Ninja, every single day he comes into the studio. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
He's just staring at me. Tell everybody goodbye, Cajun Ninja.
Faith over fear, ladies and gentlemen. Pa-ya!
There he goes, the Cajun Ninja. Look at you. Just
turning off my mic.
Just because you finally did something the Cajun Ninja's done, now all of a sudden you're a chef, huh? Did you burn yourself doing the turkeys? Did you set anything on fire?
Things were heavy.
Okay.
Things were heavy.
I've never done it, and everyone tells me it is absolutely something you need to try.
Well, it wasn't just one of them. There was like 60 of them, yeah. And we had to carry them back and forth.
Oh, you poor thing.
It was a long day of work.
Oh, man. I tell you, yeah, that's not something.
But you know what? The good thing is there's there's the taps. Get the beer.
Oh, wow. So that's what it is, huh?
Oh, yeah. Okay. A little repayment in the beer.
I may try one this year. I don't know. I don't have anything to do it in, so I got to get all that. You know. Dad does a really good turkey, though. It's always moist, never dry.
Just get a do you have a crawfish?
Yeah, I do.
Stick it in there.
How about you make me one?
Make you one?
Yeah. How about you just show up with one on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving? Go, here you go. How about that? That would work perfectly.
I don't know where I'm getting the material.
Final segment coming up next. We got news about that Drew Holiday rumored trade, perhaps, to the Atlanta Hawks. Don't go anywhere. We'll tell you that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, 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 she's a lady. Talking about that little lady.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Polar Auto Air is your one-stop shop that services all motorhomes and campers, repairs, parts, and accessories, including fifth-wheel campers, refrigerators, and AC units. They specialize as a certified RVIA tech on recreational vehicles plus leveling systems. They accept all extending warranties. Polo Auto Air in Houma has been in business for over 30 years. Call 985-876-1934 or 985-876-6317.
When you need them, your local volunteer fire department routinely answers the call. Whether it be a fire, traffic accident, or a cat stuck in a tree, there is always someone there for you. However, because of declines in memberships, departments are becoming understaffed and struggling. Here's how you can help your neighbors and your community. No matter what skills you may possess, you can make a difference. Your local volunteer fire department desperately needs your help. Can you direct traffic, install a smoke alarm, help at fundraisers? Your community needs you. You don't have to fight fire to be a volunteer. Will you make that difference? Will you answer the call? Brought to you by the National Volunteer Firefighter Recruitment Center, a program service of the Volunteer Firefighter Alliance. For more information on how you can help and make a difference, visit www.nvfrc.org. That's www.nvfrc.org.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Poor Jordan Kleberg. They're in the break here finding out your stress level, sir, is going up here in the next couple of weeks.
I'm trying to keep
it down.
What is
your semester end, by the way?
It ends... So it really ends when I take my final exam, and you can take... It's a statistic course.
Yeah, it's a simple question, man. When does it end?
Well, it could be any time.
November,
it could be
December.
It could be December. It could be November 30th or November December 5th. So I'm planning on ending it December 4th.
All right. I still don't know why you're taking statistics.
I don't either.
I mean, unless you plan on being a statistician in the world of sports.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, Gus.
That's got to be the worst class ever. I'm allergic to math.
Honestly,
though.
It's not.
I'm allergic to math, though.
It's not horrible. It's just very, very.
I'm allergic
it's time
to math.
Consuming.
Yeah, it hurts my head. Like I,
especially if you have to teach it to yourself.
Picture like one of those old black and white movies, like you know, where the vampire comes and somebody holds like a cross sign in front of that.
Yeah,
that's me. I see any kind of numbers. And have to do any addition, subtraction. I mean,
I'm fine with addition and
like,
subtraction.
The tip thing is hard enough
the
for
tip?
Me. Yes. Now I do 20% all the time, but my wife worked in restaurant. I just hand it to her. You do it.
You do it on your phone.
Well, again, that's my point. I need to go to a phone or a tip card. I do not do math. I don't do it. Just don't do it.
So last semester I have to take a math class. So
when's French coming back? By the way.
French was supposed to be coming back next semester.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to be actually taking two classes over in Hammond next semester.
French?
No.
When's French coming back? Dude?
French is coming back.
You keep pushing it off. You're going to have to do it.
No.
I wouldn't do it your last semester and get
summer.
It over with.
It's going to be summertime.
Oh, no. So you're going to ruin your summer.
I've been ruining my summer the past couple of years to juggle everything.
All right, if you joined us earlier in the show, Mark Stein covers the NBA. He, ESPN, he... tweeted something very interesting that the Atlanta Hawks had emerged as a potential trade destination for Drew Holiday and included their sixth pick overall. Well, Chris Kirschner, right?
What? I was having trouble. I was hoping
it's
that you
Kirschner.
Were going to say it so I didn't have
it's
to mess
Kirschner.
It up.
Wait, what? You know, if you're ever going to do this job, you might want to practice.
You just got to say it with
authority.
With authority and courage. Chris Wait. Kirschner, and it sounds like that's his actual name.
Anyway, he's the Hawks beat reporter for The Athletic. Did you know that? He's the Hawks beat reporter for The Athletic.
Hover over his little name.
Yeah, well, I mean, you didn't tell me that. I had to go look that up just now. Chris Kirschner, Hawks beat reporter. He's their Will Guillory.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wouldn't know. I would think he would know. Probably knows.
You would think.
He says, multiple sources told me the Hawks are currently not a possible trade destination for the New Orleans guard, Drew Holiday.
And then he later adds to a comment
mm-hmm.
to a, it looks like a fan,
right.
Daniel.
Not Daniel Salerson.
No, it's okay. Not Daniel Salerson.
Okay.
What is so confusing right now, so Mark Stein is wrong on his report.
Uh-oh, what did Chris say?
He says, he's a great reporter, and I'm sure he was told that, but New Orleans, or whoever could be throwing that out, there is gauging his value.
I want you to describe what's happening right now.
We both said the same thing.
I'm sorry. No. Don't you dare take my back, Pat.
We're both Pat.
Don't you dare take my back, Pat. It never uttered out of your mouth at all.
I'm not taking your back.
Not a single second on today's show did you ever say, oh, I think you're there. Nothing. So take back that back, Pat, and go ahead and pat me twice on my back because I said it.
I'll give you a pat on the back.
Didn't I say it?
You did say
it. I am on a roll with back patting right now, ain't I? I mean, all last week, did everything I say last week come through on Sunday, yes or no? Simple question.
Yes.
Okay.
First team all back pat.
I am first team all back pat. I like that. It's not very often. Sometimes I'm a second, third teamer. But I think right now I am working towards, at least in the month of November, because we got to go by the month. I think the month of November right now, I am a leading candidate of, you know, first team all bat pack.
Feeling like you have something to prove like Trey Hendrickson, huh?
Well, hey, you know, all I know is this. It's not hard, right? You just read the tea leaves, man. And the tea leaves are very simple in this one. You're not getting rid of somebody that can help you win right now, makes you better right now, unless you're getting something in return that's really worth it. And Ollie did a good job of presenting a case and presenting an argument for a draft pick that is high in a player that he likes out of USC. Great. But it better be more than that. Even he said it was going to be with another player or two, and you still think that it's a three-team trade scenario that would be more than likely that something happens like that.
It just seems like the most reasonable for a Drew Holiday, especially if it's on draft night. I could really see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, again, now it just when I told you, I text someone in Atlanta, and when that response came, no, it's just the pick, I said, not a shot. So, that's what Chris is saying.
Look.
And
your buddy over there,
you're
going to
get this. What was the phrase you said? It sounded like a, you know, young kids thing right now. What was you say? Are you still up? Is that what that is? You still up?
Hey, still up?
Oh, still up?
Still up?
So it's not. You wouldn't even say, "Are you still up?" You just go still.
Or you up?
Oh, you just go straight to that, huh?
Yeah, either
you
one.
Up. What does that mean?
Like, hey, I want to talk or something.
Oh, something, huh?
It means something.
Okay, something. Okay, no, I hear you. So you can.
It's like a feeler.
Oh, okay. So
I mean, I could be completely wrong. I mean,
it's an exploratory tweet wrong, or text is what you're saying. Yeah. It's an exploratory text to said person.
Yeah.
Okay.
You up.
And why am I assuming, correctly this is tend to be late at night, past 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
So this is a past 10 p.m. text. You up.
Some might say 12.
Oh, really? Past midnight? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I can kind of.
And if you get a response, hey,
then there's something. Then there's something going on. Okay, that's fine. That's good because I think we're both in the same boat on this. Then you have it a little bit different, but this just reeked of hey Miami, hey Milwaukee, what's going on over there? Hey, you see these teams over here, huh? What do you think, Boston? I'm just saying. That's what this is, and they know it too. But it's a feeler. It's a gauge. Because in that time that report came out, you might have gotten a text. You might have gotten a phone call of, hey, look, I'd still like to talk to you about this, right? And then when that report comes out, then that person probably made the phone call goes, oh, I knew it. Look, we're inside of a week now. Or we're a week away. The draft is obviously in the evening, so we're still not a full week away. But it's a week away. Next Wednesday, we'll have a special sports hangover draft special. We'll focus, obviously, on the Pelicans. We'll give you players. We'll have anybody and everybody that covers the team chime in. My hopes to get, you know, Coach Van Gundy, some other players, some staff, whatever. Plus, of course, Daniel Todd. We'll hear from as many people as we can as we try to get you as ready as you can. Because, look, the season is around the corner. First week of December, training camp is going to start. The 22nd is opening night for the NBA. That's a Tuesday. Pels maybe. What about Pels Lakers?
Please. No.
What about Pels Please, Lakers to open up no, the season? You no, don't want to start that already?
No.
You don't want Pels Lakers?
Remember the argument we had last year?
Pels Lakers on ring night.
No.
How about that? On ring night.
No.
Pels played the Warriors on a ring night.
No. I don't feel like that being a storyline.
You don't want that as a storyline?
Just stop.
Zion, slim and trim versus LeBron. Is he even there? He could just be there to pick up the ring.
You throw up.
He said if they're playing in December, he ain't going to be there. That turned your stomach already?
I don't want to play the Lakers for I could care less.
So are we not ready to play that game just yet?
No, I don't want
to. Okay, we'll wait to schedule release day then. Schedule release day, then we'll ask who you want to play first.
Give me an easy opponent. Let's start off with
you want to start out 1-0,
huh?
Who's your easy opponent? Top of the head right now. Who's your easy opponent?
Who's
because pretty much everyone in the Western Conference can give you a game. So we going east?
It's an Eastern opponent.
Okay, we're going straight east, huh?
I don't know. The Knicks. Give me the Knicks.
The Knicks. Okay.
So help you if you lose, but hey.
I want L.A.
I don't.
Give them to me.
All right, I'll take the Clippers. I don't want to play the Lakers.
All right, okay.
I don't feel
Why
like
are you
that.
Scared of them?
I don't feel like
that. You can't be scared.
That's gonna be a storyline.
Can't be scared.
5 weeks.
Can't be scared. All right, tomorrow we'll have quarterback Drew Brees. I think Alvin Kamara set to speak today as well. So we'll have that for you, and then we'll have some fun. Matt Muscutton after further review. Four games now in the SEC have been postponed, the latest being Missouri. So he'll keep you posted and updated on that. And until then, thanks for tuning us in. Thanks to everybody that stopped by the show today. And we will see you mañana on the Sports Hangover in your home. For Pelicans basketball, we are ESPN New Orleans.